You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
I'm proud to be here today speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood, a leading provider of high-quality reproductive health care in America. One in five women in this country has sought care from a Planned Parenthood health center. And they trust us because our rigorous health care standards have been developed with the nation's top medical experts over our 99-year history. There's been a great deal of misinformation circulated about Planned Parenthood recently, and I want to be absolutely clear at the outset.
That's Planned Parenthood's President Cecile Richards' opening remarks today before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Spent several hours there being asked questions by our lawmakers. How was her response? How were their questions? And what is the takeaway from that kind of long form of questioning there? Were the right questions asked, and what were the answers that were given? We're going to do a little analysis of Cecile Richards' congressional testimony on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 29th. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wendy Wright will join us here for the first few minutes. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Hadley Arkus talking about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that last week passed the House by a resounding majority, 57%. It is being threatened with a filibuster in the Senate. And of course, the president promised to veto it, which meant that everybody who voted against or for it in the House had free rein to do so. What about that filibuster? Would that be a bad thing? We'll get Hadley's answer to that question in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. In hour two of Issues Etc., we continue our biweekly series on pop culture today, Christian Skepticism and the Media. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, will be our guest. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us after that. Our regular series, Responding to Evangelical Cliches, today, a oldie but a goodie, Deeds, Not Creeds. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards' congressional testimony today, Wendy Wright, Vice President for the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What struck you the most about Cecile Richards' testimony today?
She was rather belligerent and very strong in her defense, but I think what really came out of the hearing is that Planned Parenthood must be investigated. They simply cannot be trusted. Their barbaric practices, the fraud that they've committed, that's the reason why it was this committee that was holding this hearing. This was the Government Oversight Committee. They're the ones that look into fraud. Now, we know from these undercover videos that Planned Parenthood is engaged in really horrific and barbaric practices, not only of abortions, but of harvesting the body parts, the organs, the tissues from those babies, and then even haggling over the prices that they will sell those organs and tissues for. And so the hearing today delved into quite a bit regarding their funding, their finances. One thing that really struck me was the lavish salaries that Planned Parenthood employees receive. Cecile Richards herself receives over $520,000 a year plus benefits, and various of their affiliate heads receive $459,000 a year. And their travel budget is $5 million a year. That's $14,000 a day. They have $127 million in excess revenue after expenses. Now, many of us would consider that profit. She was quite adamant, Cecile Richards was quite adamant in not calling it profit, because just saying the word profit, it would put her nonprofit status at risk. But the reality is $127 million excess revenue shows that they are rolling in money. So there's really no reason why we as taxpayers should have to be providing $500 million a year to this organization.
How do you evaluate the questions that were put to her? Obviously, she's being asked questions by both supporters and critics of Planned Parenthood, of both supporters and critics of abortion.
Well, it came down to the two sides, Democrats and Republicans. And as it also, as one member pointed out, nine of the Democrat members have received funding, political campaign contributions from Planned Parenthood. They were very defensive and loyal to Planned Parenthood. But the Republican questions I found excellent. They really dug into things like asking Cecile Richards, what do you do if a baby survives an abortion, if the baby is born alive? And her response to that was, she's never heard of that happening. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, there were witnesses at a congressional hearing, two women who themselves survived abortions. So it really showed the duplicity of Cecile Richards and Planned Parenthood. They're not telling the truth. Some of the questions went to things such as, has the Obama administration, has the Health and Human Services, the Inspector General, the Justice Department, has any of them contacted Planned Parenthood since these videos, these undercover videos, have come to light? In other words, is the Obama administration investigating the various crimes that have come to light from these videos? And her response was that she couldn't answer. She didn't know whether they have or not. Well, I think if any of us, our organizations, were contacted by the Attorney General of the Department of Justice, the head of the organization would know about it. So that shows why Congress needs to be investigating, as well as the states need to be investigating, because this administration is not.
Okay. I'm curious about the money trail, if you will?
Yes.
How did she respond to those who were suggesting that federal funds were actually going to pay for abortions and to facilitate then Planned Parenthood's trafficking in the body parts of aborted babies?
Well, she said that the federal funding, the Medicaid funding, which comes through the states, will pay for abortions in the case of rape, incest, life of the mother. One of the congressmen, though, asked about, does Planned Parenthood actually, like, subsidize the cost? If women can't afford an abortion, will they pay for it? And I believe her answer was yes. So that raises the question then, with all this excess revenue that they've got, and some of the spillover of that, which would come from federal funding, is some of our tax dollars going for elective abortions? Now, two of the congressmen brought up questions regarding Planned Parenthood sending money to Planned Parenthood affiliates in other countries. And that raises some questions as well. If they've got so much money here in the United States that they're actually sending money to do their services in other countries, first, what are they spending it on? And again, why should our tax dollars be paying for it? Now, when she was asked if she had looked into, since these videos had been released, looked into whether any federal funds that Planned Parenthood received were being used to their tissue so-called donation program, she said she hasn't looked into it. She hasn't investigated it. So that's, again, another reason why there needs to be further look into what Planned Parenthood is doing.
No, I find that very difficult to believe. Her organization has suffered in the last 3 months a PR crisis of biblical proportions. This is something mm-hmm. that has been not just constant, but it has been for them. It's historic. She hasn't looked into whether or not those funds went to do any of the things that the videos show quite clearly Planned Parenthood is doing? Is she in charge of the organization?
She is, in fact. That's a very good question. It was one of the first questions that the chairman, Representative Jason Chaffetz, asked her. He wanted to get clear. Are you really in charge of this organization? Are you also in charge, or do you help manage the Political Action Committee, that is, the group that gives donations to politicians? And is she in charge of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, which is the one that does lobbying? And so that was one of his first questions, so it got clear on the record that, in fact, yes, she is in charge of Planned Parenthood and plays a role in these other organizations. So she certainly should know what they are spending money on, especially with these videos coming to light. But in the political world, her answers and the fact that she has not looked into some of these burning questions is what's called plausible deniability. If you don't ask, then you don't know. And so if you get asked in a congressional hearing, you can say there's no evidence for that because you haven't looked into it.
Because she's the one being questioned here. Are there plans, by the way, to follow up on these and question other officials from Planned Parenthood?
Yes. In fact, the hearing ended with a list of at least 9 questions that she promised that she would provide answers for, and there will be a select committee that is going to be continuing investigations of Planned Parenthood. Now, one problem that the Democrats had is that the gentleman who did the undercover investigations, David DeLayden, that he has not testified. Turns out the reason he hasn't yet is because Congress has not been able to get their hands on the full videos because the abortionists have sued and a federal judge has put a restraining order on the videos. So to make this a little clear, the Democrats are complaining that David DeLayden has not testified and that they haven't seen every video, not all have been released yet. But the reason they've not been released and the reason he hasn't been able to testify yet is because it's the abortionists who have gotten a federal restraining order to keep it from being public.
How did Cecile Richards characterize the contents of those now 10 Planned Parenthood videos, and how do you respond to her characterization?
Yeah, she's a master at diversion. This is one thing I kind of keep an eye out for, and I see someone who's put on the hot seat, that instead of really answering, she diverts. Now, one of the congressmen asked her why she apologized after the first video came out for what the tone and also the statements that were made by the Planned Parenthood medical director. And because she said that nothing was said that was untrue, that the videos did not show any illegal activity going on. So the congressman asked, well, why did you apologize? And she diverted, she danced around it, she didn't give a full answer to that.
Now, I'm wondering, have we seen here a strategy on the part of Planned Parenthood emerge since the first video came out? Do they have a direction that they've chosen to go in responding to them? And is that direction represented by Cecile Richards when she appeared before the Congress this morning?
Yes, their number one method is to divert attention and attack David DeLayden and to attack pro-lifers. They don't address what's actually shown in the videos. Now, they will claim that some of the portions of the videos that didn't make it in the short versions somehow exonerated Planned Parenthood and their various medical directors. But the full videos are available. They're available online, and the transcripts are available. So the response from both the politicians that are loyal to Planned Parenthood and Planned Parenthood to the videos is to divert attention off of what was said, claim the videos were deceptively edited. Now, here was something that was quite fascinating that happened right before the hearing occurred. Planned Parenthood had hired a firm to look into these videos, and that firm that they paid claimed that the videos had been selectively and somehow deceptively edited. Well, what happened right before the hearing is that there has been another firm, a different firm, that was brought on board to investigate the videos, look into were they at all selectively or deceptively edited. And it turns out, no, they were not. The only portions that were edited out were, like, for example, when it went to the bathroom. That's, in fact, I don't think that's anything any of us want to see. So things that were not at all relevant to the practices of Planned Parenthood.
Could the videos or portions thereof be shown in these hearings?
Yes, in fact, at the last hearing, some of the videos were shown, or just a short portion was shown, but the Democrat members of that committee huddled in a corner, they talked lousily, they wouldn't look at it. So you do have to wonder if they believe that Planned Parenthood is the most trusted women's health care provider, as Cecile Richards claims, then why are they afraid to look at the videos? I mean, they displayed in public at the hearing that they refused to watch the videos.
To the issue of Planned Parenthood being a women's health care provider, how did Cecile Richards attempt to make that case, and how would you respond?
Yes, she pointed out that 2.7 million patients come to Planned Parenthood clinics throughout the year, and she also claimed that they would not be able, that those patients would have no access to care if Planned Parenthood didn't receive federal funding. Well, that's certainly not true. As many of the congressmen pointed out, there are thousands, one congressman said, over 20 times as many federally funded full health care federally qualified health care clinics that provide far beyond what Planned Parenthood provides. So patients would not go without care. Now, it was also pointed out to Cecile Richards that she could just simply suspend doing abortions, even just for a time, until this all blew over. Let's do the investigations. Let's find out what's going on. Suspend doing abortions until we really can see what's going on. And Cecile Richards and Planned Parenthood refuses to do that. They are adamant that since abortion is what they say is a legal service, then they're going to provide it. Well, the question that did not get posed to her is, it may be a legal service, but why should we as taxpayers be forced to subsidize an organization that provides it? We shouldn't, especially when there's federally funded, fully qualified health centers available to patients. Patients would not lose out. Patients are not held hostage to Planned Parenthood. They do have options and alternatives.
Wendy Wright is vice president of the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute. You'll find a link to CFAM under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to stay in matters congressional. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act passed the House by a healthy majority, 57-44%. And we're going to be talking with the author of the original bill upon which that was based, the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Longtime guest, Dr. Hadley Arkus, professor of jurisprudence at Amherst College, founder and director of the James Wilson Institute on Natural Rights and the American Founding, about the passage of that bill through the House and its prospects in the Senate. Of course, the president has promised to veto it. What did that mean for last week's vote? And would he necessarily not want to see this filibustered in the Senate? We'll get answers to those questions from Dr. Hadley Arkus right after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. With us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.